Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend and brother, Anthony Buongiorno.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Good. How are you, Anthony?
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
Is that right?
That is right.
That's not just a pleasantry?
No, it's not. I'm feeling great. I'm really excited to talk about our topics tonight.
Okay, good. I know you enjoy the news.
I love the news.
I want to say something about the news, which is you don't come here for like facts, right? Like like most people on the internet, I kind of half know what I'm saying, and my opinions are based on half-truths and whispers. So, you know, please don't cancel me or call me stupid. Everyone, like, listen, everybody on the internet is like this. I'm just brave enough to admit it to you.
And very often when you say that you read something, you mean you watched a TikTok on it.
No,
we all do.
I do read things, but I find myself more having an idea in my head and going, is that true? And then doing the exact opposite of the scientific method and trying to find if I'm right or not.
We got to get this out to the people first, then we'll fact check.
Yeah. You know who does it? Do you ever listen to Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard?
I have a problem with him.
Oh, okay.
And his lady, but no. So no, I don't.
They're a bit much.
They're too much.
I get it.
They let their kids drink non-alcoholic beer, and they're like, so what?
Well, it's not alcoholic. That's not really impressive. Yeah, they're a bit much. Anyway, his podcast, he has a fact checker. So the beginning of our episode, the end of our episode, the fact checker will check things that were said
in
during
real
the
time?
Episode. Well, when you're listening to it, but it's recorded
later.
Oh,
okay. Oh, that's fun.
I would love that. Isn't that fantastic?
We could pay somebody to
just
do that.
Just bullshit, and then someone else comes in and go, that was actually not at all
nothing
the truth.
Nothing that you've said has made sense or was true.
So this is a full episode. On a full episode, we do some news. We do some trailer reviews. We do the chill sesh where we just talk about the stuff we're currently consuming, and then we do our current obsessions.
Have I told you why I love the news?
Because you like you don't know what the news is going to
be. Yes, for the listeners at home, the news is the only segment that the guest doesn't prep for. Only Mike preps for it.
Yes.
So our
and prep is a strong word.
Our takes are fresh and hot.
Yes.
And
uninformed.
Like a Subway sandwich right out of the oven.
Yes. And just as nutritious for you. William Friedkin died at the age of... This Justin. William Friedkin died at the age of 87. He died of heart failure and pneumonia, which means old, right?
Yeah.
And listen.
Oh, boy.
I haven't seen the majority of his movies. I've seen The French Connection. I've seen The Exorcist many times. Mm-hmm. I've seen Killer Joe, which was trash.
Never even heard of Killer Joe.
It's awful. He did it. It was from
20.
No, it was for, yeah, exactly.
Right. Pardon?
No, I think 2011. I might be wrong. Fact checker.
I'm going to be honest. I've thought he's dead for the last 20 years.
You were surprised to learn he was alive when you learned he was dead?
Yes, exactly.
But
he's a monster. He was a monster.
Yeah. And what's weird to me is in a culture that we claim, or at least the conservatives claim to be very like cancel-y, he seems to be getting a huge pass in his death.
Oh yeah, except I bet Ellen Burstyn is dancing on his grave.
They had an affair, apparently.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay,
but he said it in an interview.
Oh, that's probably why she hates him.
That and the fact that she has permanent back damage.
Well, yeah. And she said that it just was an awful working environment. The Exorcist we're talking.
Yeah,
about.
Here's the problem.
He fired a gun.
Right. He did. He
on the set.
Here's the thing about William Friedkin was that he was a bully.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of bully that I hate, which is like the auteur bully. The kind of like Hitchcock was.
I bully for my art.
Yeah. Like I recently rewatched The Birds, and it was the first time I showed it on a big screen, and I was like, wow, this movie is actually excellent.
Yeah.
Everything that isn't The Birds is really interesting.
Yeah, it's super, super interesting.
Right. No one ever is telling the truth when they speak. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But when she was getting the birds like pummeling her at the end, I was like, you know, this is all real.
He was throwing live birds
at
her.
He really hated her because he like hit on her and she didn't, I don't know,
she was like, you're
disgusting. Fuck them or something.
Yeah.
It's the, to me, I put the type of directing William Friedkin did in the same bag as the method actor,
yeah,
who abuses women. Oh. It's always about abusing women.
Kubrick, yeah, abused Shelley Duvall, yeah, on the set of The Shining.
Not nice, not
and,
cool.
And you watch that documentary that his, yeah, his daughter was filming throughout the making of, and you see like off to the side, like Stanley Kubrick and Jack, they listen like laughing about how they tortured her earlier in the day.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
It's not worth it. I love, like, movies.
Oh, this fucking bitch is complaining again.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's fucking horrible. Yeah. So William Friedkin would, he would shoot guns to get like reactions. He would hit people. He would like hit, yeah, you right
he
before.
He slapped a priest across the face.
Yeah. We now know that priest is a pederast.
Oh, really?
Accused pederast. But at the time we did it.
Oh, man. Well, still.
But he didn't know he was slapping a pederast. He just thought he was slapping.
Can you define pederast for me?
A man who sexually molests young, underage, a pedophile.
Okay, I was going to say, is there a difference between pedophile and pederast?
I think pederast is just an older word.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
He's a pedophile. I don't know if
is this like a recent.
I don't know if it was like during the spotlight thing or after, but it's definitely way years after The Exorcist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every man involved in The Exorcist is problematic, including the author.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is he?
Yeah, when Georgetown, where he went,
yeah,
where the Exorcist is set and whatever, was offering a class on like queer.
Yeah,
something, literature, sexuality, whatever. He like signed a petition saying that like it was not appropriate because it was a Catholic college.
Oh, what a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so yeah, everybody sucks. I like what's his name? Who's the guy who played Father Karras?
Oh, Jason Miller.
Jason Miller. Although I hear was
a wet brain.
He was an inveterate drunk.
Yeah, somebody called him a wet. I don't call people wet brains.
I think
somebody called him that.
You know who called him that? What's his name? The guy who voices Chucky.
Oh, because he was in The Exorcist 3.
Because he was in The Exorcist 3, and he had to reshoot most of Jason Miller's stuff. Like, in The Exorcist 3, Jason Miller, his body is possessed by the Gemini killer.
Yeah, who was played by the guy who voiced Chucky.
Which I can't think of his name. He's like an Academy Award nominated person.
Is he?
Yeah.
The guy who voiced Chucky?
Yeah. For Chucky.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. For one for one flew,
oh,
one flew over
that.
The cuckoo's
I
nest.
That. I
Brad Dourif. Hmm. So they filmed it all with Jason Miller, and then he he couldn't remember anything. He was just
because he was
just
a drunk.
He was just a bad,
yeah,
drunk.
Yeah.
And so they had to reshoot it.
Max von Sydow seemed like a sweetheart.
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was a bully to people. And look, I'm not Hannah Gatsby, who's out here dedicating my life to taking down Picasso for some reason. Like, I'm not about let's all cancel him or whatever. I just find it weird that the reaction to his death, I find weird. Because he was genuinely an unpleasant person and a mean guy. And also, this is the article I sent to you. He made two
gay movies,
yeah, right? The Boys in the Band, which
is considered a gay classic.
Right, right, right. Although, by today's standards, a little problematic.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But then Cruising, which was considered a very homophobic movie.
From the jump.
Right.
While it was being filmed.
Vito Russo, who wrote The Celluloid Closet, an important gay film historian, he wrote about how bad it was. But even in that article I sent you, who was that from? Was that Variety?
GQ.
Oh, GQ?
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, it's not great, but he still had a big impact on queer cinema.
Yeah,
it really let him off the hook,
and unless I was misreading it, I feel like it kind of tried to paint him as somewhat of a prophet of like the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
Like he saw that something bad was coming in this community, and he depicted it in the film.
Right. No, it just what happened. The film Cruising is about Al Pacino plays an undercover detective. And there's a serial killer who's killing people at gay clubs, like gay men's clubs, like leather clubs. So, not De Niro, Pacino goes undercover in these clubs. Yeah, it's that thing of like the, you still see it today, honestly, like the monstrous queer. Mm-hmm. What was the one? Was it Skyfall? The James Bond movie where
Javier Bardem.
Yeah, he was kind of like sort of, and he hits on James Bond.
He hits on him, but he didn't. He didn't really play that very effeminate. I didn't think.
Okay,
but yeah, but I know it's in that vein.
Right. Yes. And so people at the time protested it,
And then they reshot the dialogue.
Yes,
to make it less so.
I guess. Right? Yeah, that's, yeah.
I've actually never seen either one of those movies.
Neither have I.
Yeah,
neither
have I. The Boys in the Band was a play first, and then it was recently
remade in 2020.
Yeah, with Jim Parsons was one of the people involved.
So look, I haven't seen these movies. I'm not here. I'm just saying it's weird.
I think that the wave of cancellation has kind of like crested, if that's the right term. Like, I think we're post that.
Well, now what happens is people don't get really canceled. Conservatives find faulted liberals and then say to the liberals, why aren't you canceling them? You should cancel them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happens now.
It's in a really different place now than it was a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you're right. I'm sure that some talking head on Fox News was probably like saying that he was canceled, even though he wasn't canceled, because like some person tweeted it.
Yeah.
And then they take tweets and they're like, this one tweet is representative of every single liberal person's opinion.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's dead.
Right before Exorcist Believer.
I think that's what killed him. Wow. I think he saw the trailer, which we're going to talk about later.
Good one.
I did see an interview with him. He's funny in interviews with how mean he is. There's a great interview with him, and he's being interviewed by a young Mick Garris, who's a director. He wrote Hocus Pocus.
And he directed the Shining miniseries.
And he directed the Shining miniseries.
1997.
And Mick Garris is like, a lot of people have said that the book is more sophisticated than the movie. And he goes, who said that? Let's start with who said that. Well, I don't have anything in front of me. Okay, so you said it. A lot of shit like that.
But like people, but like the Exorcist novel is more sophisticated than the movie.
Of course it is. But wait, this is from an interview with him. Okay. You say Al Pacino, who was this from? LA Weekly. You say Al Pacino was always late to the set of Cruising and unprepared with his lines. That'd be a shock to fans who consider him a great craftsman. It's no skin off my ass. That's the truth. I tried to write the book as honestly as I could, because this is him talking about a book he wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is a more important thing. You tell the story of fighting back against Joel, the bully, as a kid. So why do you resort to bullying so often in your own to get your own way on film sets? Be specific. I don't have it right in front of me, but well, fuck you. You want me to name the times I was a bully? Are you saying you've never bullied anyone in your sets? Absolutely not. You were talking about a handful of occasions that I slapped someone to get a performance. Read Sidney Lumet's autobiography. He discusses doing that. And I know Hitchcock did that and John Ford did it. No one did it consistently. So
that's showbiz, baby.
Yeah.
And then he took a big puff off a cigar.
Yeah.
And then fired a gun in the air.
I've never seen Sorcerer, which people say is really good.
Never even heard of it.
It's people say it's very good. I think The Exorcist is excellent. I think I like The French Connection, but I don't love it. What made his early movies good was he had been a documentarian first, so he brought a documentary feel to his movies. That's why Exorcist works, because he's taking something very fantastic and shooting it like a documentary. And that was really one of the earliest times they did that. So your brain is seeing something that feels real, but under the surface is something fantastic. And that's why it works.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the sequels don't work. I don't think he's a great filmmaker. I think he made a great film.
I mean, I think that's fair. I certainly think that of all of his films, the only one that will stand the test of time is The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to make one great film is a huge accomplishment.
And it's more than I have.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny. Speaking of, like, I've been listening to a lot of N'Gorley and Rust.
Yeah, they're so fun.
They just started a new season that's all about The Shining, and every episode's about The Shining.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they were just doing, like, anthology, like, every episode.
Now they do different, movie. All sorts of different shit.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And Paul Rust did this thing where he was talking about, I think it was Jared Leto being really, like, an asshole in his method acting and like abusing people on the set of Suicide Squad.
Fuck Jared Leto.
And Paul Ross was like, why is there never a method actor who like plays a really nice guy? And he's like, yeah, to get into character, I was really nice to everybody.
Yeah. And also, how come there's never been a method actor who was absolutely horrible that was a woman?
Right. I know. I always hate.
It's always some brooding guy.
You know, when I taught film classes, I used to say to like specifically the male students, I was like, don't buy into the like director is the captain of the ship bullshit. Like, this is collaborative.
Yeah, it takes a village.
The people, movies are made by not one person. You have to rely on each other. You have to listen to each other. Yeah. Like, don't let it be this weird power trip.
Is it Kevin Smith who doesn't put a Kevin Smith film in front of his movies?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really love him, but that I
agree. Yeah, I agree.
And he
with
doesn't
that too.
Do that because
it doubles up anyway. Yeah, like, yeah. You already have directed by. What more do you need? Turn on the. Get some air in here. I'm surprised. You usually have it very chilly in here.
Yeah, I could lower it.
So let's talk. Let's get into more controversy.
Oh, boy. Let's wade in.
Let's talk about the 2024 Snow White live action film. There are two so far controversies. The first one was famous little person actor Peter Dinklage said that he doesn't think it's a good thing to make it, that he thinks it's to cast little people.
It reinforces negative stereotypes.
Right, and to use the word dwarf in that way,
yeah.
Like guys who live in a mountain.
Right.
It's bad, and it's also, it's against Disney's so-called like inclusion that they're doing now. So that was the first thing. And of course, some people were with him, some people against him. Some little people were like, thanks, that's eight jobs we could have had that you just got rid of. So now it's cast with six non-little people of different races and one little person.
Right. They're all, I don't know what they're
and
called.
And they're like called like the dancers or the magic
so
men.
The
something
movie's
weird.
It's going to be called Snow White, not Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah. And it's like, they're like just.
And they're like magical creatures.
There's something. I don't know what they are. There's something.
Okay.
So that was the first controversy. And then the second one, the one that's newer, that's all over TikTok, is that there was an interview like a year ago from Rachel Zegler, who's playing Snow White, very young actress. She was in the new West Side Story. Did you watch have you watched this or you've seen it probably a bunch of times?
I have.
So it's
by the way, she's wonderful in West Side Story.
It's at D23, which is like the Disney Comic-Con. And they're like, what's going to be different in your new Snow White? And she's like, oh, well, in our new Snow White, she's just not waiting for a man to come and save her. She's going to be about getting her. She says a bunch of like girl boss stuff.
She does. And she says a bunch of things that at this point are trite. And
yes.
This is not new.
Right. It's true for almost all these Disney remakes.
Including The Little Mermaid that just came out.
Right. But I think her attitude is what people hate.
Well, because she's like, it's not 1937 anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So that people have been like, oh, she's shitting on the classic.
Right. This is the thing. Everyone hates her. Conservatives hate her because she's saying something progressive.
And conservatives hate her because she's not purely white.
Yeah. And
seriously. And she's playing Snow White.
Yeah. And more progressive people hate her because she's shitting on the art.
Yeah. So she's getting it from the right and the left.
And I would say there's something deeper, which is people don't like when they see a young person of color with confidence.
Yeah.
She's so poised and self-actualized the
a
way
New Jersey
she's talking.
Native.
There you go. She's so. Yeah, so now that you said that, I could see her ordering a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah, she's
like, yeah, let me get a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Seems
oh,
like a good time. She's young.
Right.
Like, she's super young.
So because of this opinion, people are like dragging her like crazy.
Yeah, she's getting wrecked. And then in that article that you sent me, I'm sorry, not the one you sent me. I looked up an article about it, and apparently she tweeted like, I think I'm done. I think my career is over.
Yeah.
Like, she's in bad shape. She's really upset.
It's fucked up.
I don't, like, I guess I can see why people would be miffed
that
the person playing Snow White is like, fuck the old Snow White.
Really?
But I think that she was just like in a good mood. She was at D23 and she was like, this ain't your mom, Snow White.
Right.
And like, it's all very innocent. And like I said, this is nothing like the princess doesn't need the prince to save her. She's going to save herself is like not new.
Right.
It's something that Disney's been doing for like the last 15 years.
Right.
Including
right.
Frozen.
Right. And
And she's not the fairest of them all now means she apparently she wants to be a leader. It's about her like political ambition. Like she wants to be queen
based on what I was reading. So fair is unjust.
So fair is unjust. Yeah, she is the fairest of them all.
Well, one thing I was thinking about, which is of all these Disney remakes, perhaps this one is too old to remake. Perhaps too much of its core values are not, you're not able to put in on new context.
And I guess, is she not going to be kissed while asleep? Because that's going to be problematic.
Right.
So it seems like maybe they are going to swing for, you know.
Would have to be something entirely different. Which makes you go like, why is Disney even doing it?
Yeah, just change the plot.
Because we already had like the Huntsman, you know what I mean? Like,
why are we, that's another discussion. I was thinking about when we were preparing for this episode, which is like everything.
You don't need
trailers. Everything is a remake or a sequel, and it's just
right.
I'm at the point where I'm like, what? Why do we need any of this?
Right.
What are we doing this for?
I agree.
But no, I think she is being unfairly. Well,
it's just internet culture, because it's like when you retweet something or when you say your piece, you go, I disagree. It's a little feather, right? But then those feathers pile up, and then they're crushed.
Right.
That's the thing people understand. See, look, the reason the internet is so fucked up is because our little pea brains can only really understand, like, knowing 100 people at a time.
Right.
We can't really conceptualize the ground that we play in when we're online. So when we pile on, we don't realize that we're devastating people.
And we also, yes, totally. We also don't, or our brains can't, like, wrap our minds around that, like, we're talking to other human beings and about other human beings because they're not physically in front of us.
Right.
So there is, I think that there's been studies done on this. Like, people feel a lot braver to say mean shit.
Oh, of course.
When the person's not in front of them. And you're hiding under cover of anonymity also.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I'm just not looking forward to it because they're all bad except Little Mermaid. I like the Little Mermaid a lot. I've said it before.
Let me ask you something. I loved The Little Mermaid as well.
And you're correct.
Do you think that The Little Mermaid, do you think that that's going to be, like in 10 years, are people still going to be watching the new Little Mermaid, or are they going to be watching the old one?
That's a hard question to answer, because I sort of think that nothing is. I kind of feel like everything's disposable now. I don't think there will be classics anymore, in a way.
I guess. I feel like they're going to remake The Little Mermaid again in 5 years.
Right. Our memories are very short from it. But I think, I guess another way to say is yes, because I do think it's really good.
I do think it's really good too. I don't know if it's like, I think I'm at a point where I'm like, is it really good for what it is, or is it really good? Like, if there was no original Little Mermaid, would I love it as much as I do?
I still would, because the songs would still be good.
Yeah, the songs are good. Yeah.
And she's
amazing.
Yeah, that's what makes it good.
And I do agree with you. I think it's far and away the best remake, live action remake.
A lot of them are horrible.
Jungle Book's good.
Haven't seen it.
You gotta see it. Jungle Book is good.
Okay, that's it for the news.
Rachel Ziegler is great in West Side Story. Another remake we didn't need, but I enjoyed very much.
Haven't seen it.
Really liked it.
Haven't seen it.
Really liked it.
All right. let's go to Trailer Corner.
I'm getting my stuff. I'll be there in a second.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
So, going back to The Exorcist, let's talk about the trailer for the new Exorcist film, The Exorcist Believer. This doesn't look great. And I've got three words for you. David Gordon Green.
He's getting dragged.
David Gordon Green was a filmmaker who made a lot of comedies. Some are very good, some not.
Yeah.
Some forgettable. He then was
What's his most memorable comedy?
I guess Pineapple Express.
Oh, yeah.
Eastbound and Down.
He worked
a lot with Danny McBride.
Who's also involved, right?
Yeah. I don't think he's involved with The Exorcist, but he was in, I don't know, I gotta look it up. He was involved with the Halloween movies. Yeah. But then his career took a turn when he was like, I'm gonna do horror movies now, and I'm gonna remake, or I'm gonna make a new trilogy of Halloween movies, and they're gonna get worse and worse.
Progressively worse.
Everyone liked the first one. I hated it. And then, the second one came out and we all hated it. The
second one came out during COVID.
Yeah. And then the third one came out and people hated it even more.
Yeah.
So, Danny McBride is involved in all of them.
Yeah.
But let me look that up. But and I haven't even seen 2 or 3, but people have told me don't waste your precious time on this earth.
I'll be honest with you. I watched like the first hour of 2 Halloween Kills, and I just turned it off. I was just like, I can't watch this.
And what people seem to say is that it's more of a duology, and then 3 is like a different kid.
There's apparently some kid named Corey in 3, and that's all I hear about is like the inclusion of this kid Corey is the stupidest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like he wants to be Michael Myers.
So it's like you had a trilogy. Why didn't?
I don't know.
Yes. Danny McBride is involved in the writing of The Exorcist, the Believer.
Okay, so, all right. I think, just based on the trailer, it looks like it's
exasperation.
Got some, yeah, I mean, I'm overall exasperated, but
I'm going to see it because I don't respect myself.
Of course, I'm going to see it. But, like, it looks like it might have some stuff that's cool. I mean, I guess the idea of having 2 kids possessed at the same time is kind of cool,
I guess.
It seems like the plot is directly lifted from my best friend's exorcist.
Yeah, yeah.
Or exorcism. Best friend's exorcism, where they disappear in the woods for 2 days and come back and they're possessed, which is like exactly what happens in that.
And just like with his Halloween movie, the big draw is I got Ellen Burstyn back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, whatever happened to actors having dignity?
I know, you said no to 2.
Yeah, just fucking, she's 90. You could have just never done another one.
She looks great.
She looks fantastic.
But she's 90.
She's going to be in it for 5
years. Is she truly 90?
She's 90.
And you can see it. And I don't mean that as an insult. She looks great.
They filmed all her scenes really quickly because they were afraid she was going to die. And I'm not joking.
So like when she's...
I swear to God, you could look that up.
Oh, boy.
They said they wanted to get her stuff in the can as soon as possible because of at the time, COVID was still kind of around. And she's in her advanced age, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So they like really just... So she's going to be in it for 5 minutes, giving whatever performance she can give. I'm sure she'll be good. But why is she there?
For no other reason than for her to be there.
The demon says mother to her, which I guess is like, that's the moment where the audience is supposed to go like, oh, fuck, that's so cool. But then I'm reading David Gordon Green said it's not Pazuzu. So it's like, so then why would this demon say mother to her?
I don't know. I fucking don't know. Look, there's been a lot of extra stuff and I don't want to get into all of it. I've talked about that. I love Exorcist 3. Exorcist 2 I never really liked, but it has its likers. You like it, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like it because it's fucking bad, weird. It's bananas. But it's weird. Yeah, but I like it.
The Exorcist prequel, there are 2 versions of it. Awful. One by Rennie Harlan, one by Paul Schrader. I liked a little bit of both, but forgettable. I like the Exorcist TV show.
I just when I was preparing for tonight, I was reading, like I Googled Exorcist Believer or whatever, and somebody wrote a think piece that was like, the Exorcist series wrapped up Reagan's story perfectly. We don't need to do this.
Yes, yes.
Because you know Linda Blair is coming back. That's
probably
it's going to be the Force Awakens thing. Ellen Burstyn's going to be in this one. She's going to die. And then in the last 2 seconds, you're going to see Linda Blair. And then Linda Blair is going to be in the next one.
Right, right.
I mean, it's all but guaranteed at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to William Friedkin, right? What made... The simple key that made his film work was realism, documentary style.
This looks just like every knockoff of The Exorcist.
This looks like every contemporary horror movie. Yeah. You know, it's got meticulous color timing, a very rich, dense color palette.
It's going to have 7,000 jump scares.
Yeah, it's going to just be bad. And it's just like, why? After what happened with the Halloween movies, why... Why give this to this guy?
I know. I think it's just like, and I feel this, even though I liked Scream 6, and you know, like we've talked about Scream to Death, but I do think that you get to a point where you just, it's unavoidable. You just hit diminishing returns.
Right.
And we've hit it. Like, it's never going to be as good as the original again. And the more you try, the worse it's going to be.
It's like shark movies. There's one good one. And because it was good...
What's that from? Still Just the One Good One?
Oh, Paul F. Tompkins said that on How Did This Get Made when they were talking about Deep Blue Sea. Still Just the One? But they... Because they were successful, they were like, let's make it a genre when it's not a genre.
Right.
Exorcist movies is not a genre.
But there are
shark movies
million Exorcist movies.
Right, and they all are derived from the original Exorcist. Yeah. They all do the exact opposite visually. They all do it wrong,
right,
according to me. I liked the My Best Friend Exorcist movie, but...
I didn't. I liked the book. I thought the movie was awful.
The movie was... Sorry. The book was fantastic. The movie was a disappointment, but yeah. Okay for what it was.
Yeah.
It should have been... It felt like a TV movie.
It took itself too seriously. The tone was off.
I just think it was...
And the acting,
I just think it was poorly
was
done.
Yeah, a lot of
I just think it was
bad.
Kind of like... It didn't get to the depths of what the writing was. Yeah. But that's probably better than this. I mean,
I'm sure. Will it have some cool parts? Sure. But it's going to be, look, there's going to be people who see it who are like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then I think it's going to follow the Halloween trajectory. Yeah. The next one's going to be shitty. And then the third one's going to be the shittiest.
Right.
And then it's going to be like, why did we do that?
Well, is it a trilogy?
It's going to be a trilogy. Yes.
Of course. What am I thinking?
Yes. And the next, they already have released the title. It's Believer. And then the next one is Deceiver.
Oh, fuck yourself.
So it's like, what's the third one going to be? Retriever. It's about a golden retriever that's been possessed by the devil.
I'm down.
But like, and you know, in a way, even Star Wars, the new Star Wars trilogy followed that kind of like, right. Oh, it's great. Is it? Oh shit, this sucks by the time the third one.
Well, because we're in this weird thing of not planning ahead, even though we've got a whole series.
Yeah.
We just come out of the box strong with no plan.
Let's set up a bunch of stuff. God knows where it's going. I know.
And the trailer, we got to stop this trope in trailers, which is like the piano music, like teasing it.
Yeah.
Like in this trailer, it's. They did it so.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, what's that?
They did that
what's
in the that? Halloween trailers, too.
They also did it in the Indiana Jones trailer. Yeah. They do it all over just to, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's just like, these trailers now are so. These legacy trailers are all the same.
Yeah. I did like that little Easter egg of. I showed you, like, the cover of Chris McNeil's book in the movie, like, looks like the Exorcist cover.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks. And then they had the thing of, like, which they did in the Halloween trailers, like they show the old person and then it fades into the new person, same person returning.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
in
shit.
In case you're so fucking
this
stupid.
This old lady's here to fuck shit up.
You're so goddamn stupid you can't figure out that it's the same person. This 9-year-old woman's going to go against the devil. And something else that's weird.
I guess she's the believer.
Oh, fuck off. Here's another weird thing in the trailer. And believe me, I'm not a Christian. But in the trailer... She goes, Ellen Burstyn goes, every different culture and religion has their own exorcism rites, and we're going to need them all.
That's
what?
Yeah, that's the new flavor, by the way, of this one. Is
It's like, not a Catholic
it's
priest.
Not
it's
not a
gonna
Catholic.
It's going to be like a bunch of different
people.
Yeah,
yeah. And
like a rabbi.
And the families
and then like
are
a
not,
monk.
Yeah. The families are not Catholic. So it's like the exorcism comes in all forms. Yes, every single religion and culture has exorcism because nobody knew how to treat mental illness before.
Right.
So if you really want to go down this road, like, that's why.
Right, I know.
Because they didn't know what was wrong with these people, so they convinced themselves they were possessed
and
by
demons.
And
they would torture them, basically, until they died. And we went, okay, we did it.
Their
we fixed
soul
it.
Is free, yeah.
Yeah, we murdered that 60-year-old girl who wanted to write a book or start a business. Yeah, it looks like fucking garbage.
So now that I guess we'll have to see, but I guess that's my question because, I mean, the big plot point of the original Exorcist is that Chris McNeil is an atheist.
Yeah, I guess
in the book
she's
they
kind of
go into that she lost her faith, but in the movie they just play it as she has no religion, and I guess now she's a believer. Of all religions.
She's a believer of every religion. Don't you worry. Ben Shapiro was going to be like, oh, okay. So now.
Shut up, Ben Shapiro. He's such a fucking dweeb.
It's so funny because he's so. He looks. I know.
Shut
and people
up.
Are like, he's the coolest.
You know, he's Matilda. What's her name in real life?
The actress. Mara Wilson.
Mara Wilson. Yeah. They're cousins.
Wow.
And she's like, I don't talk to that guy. Fuck that guy. But he's her cousin.
Wow. He's such a little...
He's just a little... He's that...
And his whole guy. Barbie shit is so funny.
Oh, I know. He's such a loser.
Yeah. Anyway.
And he's always so, like... Him and Tucker Carlson are just, like, always so deadly serious, too.
But also, it's that, come on, face. Yeah. Like, come on. This is crazy.
So you're telling me... Like, shut up. Bro, chill out.
Yeah. Bro, this is... Come on.
It's Barbie. Also, can I say this?
Yes, please.
What's so crazy to me is I've read a million think pieces, like... Barbie proves that audiences don't need sequels. They love originality. And it's like, how far have we come that Barbie, which is like the biggest toy IP in the world, right, is now original? Like, Barbie is considered the most original movie that we've gotten.
I know. And
like, it didn't have a built-in audience.
And what Mattel thinks people like is that it's about toys. So like, yeah, oh, we'll give you a Hot Wheels movie.
I know. They're so dumb. The CEO of Mattel is like the Will Ferrell character.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of people that annoy me to no end.
A heist movie.
Yeah.
Reverse.
Speaking of people who annoy me to no end, Bill Maher, who I don't know what he is anymore.
He's like a libertarian.
Yeah, just Islamophobe.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, there were real facts, because he points out that in the 90s there was a female CEO, and currently the board has female CEOs on it. But like, what does that have to do with anything?
It's satire.
I feel like if men see Barbie movie and see themselves reflected in Ken and go, this movie hates men, it doesn't. It just hates the kind of guy you are. And right, you should think about why you're shitty. Because right, that's not all men. All men right, are not that. Are you yeah, that?
Right.
It hates you then. Bill Maher. Look, there
Talk
was
about
a time.
Someone who's uncancelable.
There, yeah, right. There was a time and place for Bill Maher, and it was 2004. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the Wonka trailer. I know
That's how I feel about everything.
No, wait. I'm too... You know what it is? It's hot in here. I think I need a little water. I'm exasperated, but you know what? I want to come with a different energy. I was expecting this to suck, and I think it looks good. Obviously, it's based on nothing.
I was expecting it to suck, and I think it's going to suck.
It's based on nothing. It's based on nothing of the original writer, blah, blah, blah. But it looks charming. The aesthetic is right. I think there are jokes in it that I found funny. There are notions in it that
Colonizer.
I thought were
cute. They're really trying to get around that. Do you notice?
Right, right.
I mean, in the book, he goes to like some made-up African country
and steals
all the Oompa
Loompas.
Right,
enslaves
but
them.
Enslaves them, yes. But in this new movie, he's like, where are you? You followed me home.
Right.
And he's like, I don't want you. And the Oompa Loompa's like, well, I'm here to stay.
Right.
And it's Hugh Grant? Yeah. Question mark?
Another thing that I think little people are like, why can't we play?
Yeah, levels? Which rightfully so.
And then also some people are like, that's offensive, so there's nowhere to win.
But
it looks
Chalamet.
Cute. I know, but I don't know. It looks cute. Like, I like when he's like daydreaming and the person's like, hey, and the sign says no daydreaming.
Yeah, it's kind
of
fun.
I was like, whoever wrote it.
That's the funniest joke in the movie. That's why it's in the trailer. Go on.
I feel like whoever wrote it was able to capture
the whimsy
and the humor.
I'm exaggerating. I do think it looks like it might be pretty good. It looks like it could be a great Christmas time fare.
And also it's directed by the director of Paddington.
Yeah, which is great. Paddington was voiced by President Zelensky.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. The Ukrainian version. That's... You know, he was an actor. Did you know that?
Yes, but I didn't
know
he
played somebody
Paddington.
Who became the president before he became president.
What a world we live in, huh?
What a world. What I don't like about it is that visually, it's looking too Tim Burton-y to me. And I'm like,
it's not looking like that to me.
To me, I'm like, is this a prequel to the Johnny Depp?
No, it isn't.
Which we got a little bit of. That movie is fucking horrible.
I've never actually seen it.
Oh, God. It's way worse than you
even I've only seen bits.
But that we got some backstory into his childhood in that one. His dad is a dentist and he let him eat candy.
This seems entirely different.
Yeah. This is like he's going up against the man, the chocolate man.
The chocolate cartel?
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know what's so funny about these prequels that come out now is that they have, like, rightfully so, they have diverse casting.
Yeah.
But it's like you watch these movies, and if you were to watch them in like chronological order, you'd be like, wow, the world got a lot less diverse. You know, like there are people of color in Wonka, but not in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
How did he make sure that only white people got those golden tickets?
Yeah, I know. No, all over the world too. Yeah. It was amazing.
That's funny.
Yeah, although, you know, is it a prequel to the Gene Wilder? Probably not.
No, it's just a thing.
I don't know. Nothing means anything anymore.
I will agree with you that we could step back and say all of our standards have been lowered.
Sure.
With our contemporary media culture and You know, like you said with Little Mermaid, is it just good for what it is? I don't know. Maybe, but
we won't know from now. We won't know that now. I think we're going to know later. Like, everything's in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think, like, I think movies are in their flop era, and I think that TV is in its golden second or third golden age, or whatever.
Yeah.
I just think movies are not where it's at.
Yeah.
Movies be sucking.
But some are good.
Some are good. During any age, and some TV there's sucks. Always some that are
And also exceptions. The line between them is very blurry now.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I think that TV now is movies that are long that you can binge or you could watch at your leisure. And now almost movies feel too short to tell stories.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Hold on. When I was having a conversation with Mike Fischetti about the movie industry recently, I was saying that my thing is I think that they spend too much on movies,
mm-hmm.
and they want everything to be the biggest hit ever, so everything's a failure. And we were talking about The Haunted Mansion,
which was great,
and which I liked a lot. And Mike was like, I thought that was a small budget. Well, I didn't have the answer then, but I did look it up, and I was correct. How much did they spend on The Haunted Mansion? $150 million.
Is that a lot for movies, though? I don't know.
It's not as much as it gets, but that's not little.
Is that just the budget, or is that also counting marketing?
Well, there's a lot of fuzzy.
Yeah,
in Hollywood, there's fuzzy numbers. Yeah.
There's also domestic versus international.
But when you spend that much.
Also, it seems to me like if you turn a profit, that's good. But it seems like unless it makes a bajillion dollars, they consider it a flop now.
Right.
I mean, it's not enough just to make the money back.
And maybe it's because they spend more than they say.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like, Hollywood has become like a crazed gambler at a fucking blackjack table. That's just like they won big with the Avengers Endgame. It was the most money they ever made on a movie. And now it's just like, hit me. Yeah, and he just keeps fucking, like, well, it's all they're doing. Like, and the only people that are making smaller movies are like streaming networks.
Yeah. Like if you want like a 90s style, just movie, like about real people living in the world.
Yeah.
Like the film equivalent of like modern contemporary literary fiction.
Yeah.
Let's say, like I just watched a movie the other day on Max or something called Let Them Talk.
Uh-huh.
Let Them All Talk or whatever, with Meryl Streep. And it was just like a movie that would have been a regular movie before. It would have,
right.
But it went straight to Max.
There would have been trailers for it.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have come out on a Friday. It would have contended.
Yeah. If you need a movie for adults like that, you need to go to streaming.
Right.
Because the movie theater is just for spectacle now.
Right.
What's going to happen with Barbie? Because Greta Gerwig says, like, I'm not making a Barbie sequel. So they're just going to make it without her, probably, right?
Yo, absolutely.
And without Margot Robbie.
Definitely.
I'm assuming
Margot Robbie, I didn't know this, Margot Robbie produced it and hired Greta Gerwig.
Yeah. I didn't know that either until recently. So, I saw it on TikTok.
So,
I mean, I read it somewhere.
Where I got all my New York Times.
Yeah, because she said, I saw a TikTok where she was like, I didn't actually audition. Somebody asked her, what was the auditioning process like? She was like, I didn't audition for Barbie because I actually
am the producer.
I'm the producer of Barbie, so it was my project.
And she even said, like, I don't have to be in it.
Yeah, and Greta Gerwig said, like, you're the most beautiful woman in the world.
Well, it would be ironic because you're the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the last trailer. This one I'm sure you don't give a shit about at all. Godzilla Minus One.
I bet you're excited for my take, which is, what?
So it's only a teaser trailer.
What's happening? Is this a prequel?
Yes.
Is that why it's Minus One?
Yeah.
Was there a zero?
No.
Because it says before zero.
Well, this is what I would call a real Godzilla movie because it's a Japanese movie from the original company. So this is part of the real Godzilla movies, not the American ones.
So it's canon.
No, there is no canon. But but it's from the real people, okay?
Okay.
And it's not part of the legendary like Kong Verzilla and all. Like there's still more of those coming. This has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
When Toho, the company, was like, we're counting down to the trailer to the new movie, and every day on their Instagram, they would post a poster of every movie backwards order, starting with the most recent.
Clever.
And so people were guessing as it kept going down, people like, this has got to be a prequel or something.
Yeah.
And this, although I don't think it's a canon prequel, but...
So there is no canon anymore?
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, like like the work of David Gordon Green, there's at least 7 or 8 Godzilla movies that forget the other Godzilla movies and just say the first one is the only one that happened.
Yeah.
They were doing it before we were doing it. I always thought of H2O as the beginning of doing that.
Yeah.
They were doing it way back in 1984. The Return of Godzilla was, forget all these other ones besides the first one. Anyway, so this one is called Godzilla Minus One. And the interesting hook is that it is right after World War II. So you see, yeah, and that's why it says like in the trailer, it says like Japan is destroyed. Well, it's
right after the bomb.
Yeah.
The bombs were right. dropped. Yeah.
And so it's like on, that's, it's minus one. On you have less than nothing. Now you have a giant monster. And the rumors are that the characters in it are going to be the characters from the original movie. That would be cool, although wouldn't make canon sense. But it seems cool. I like the way Godzilla looks in it.
I only saw a foot.
At the end of the trailer, you see his face when he roars.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He looks mean and ugly in it again, which I like. He looks very fat.
Wasn't he kind of chunky?
Yes. Yes.
Originally, and with a long neck?
Well, there's like a million, again, because there's barely any canon. He would look different. Like, in the days where he was like a hero, friend to the children, he looked like a big friendly dinosaur.
And then there are some that he looks like a straight-up dinosaur, right?
Right. My favorite is from Godzilla. I think it's Godzilla GMK. It's from like 2007, and he just has white eyes with no pupils. To me, that's the scariest Godzilla because he just looks really freaky.
Does he always spit atomic fire?
Yes.
Not in the American ones, though.
No, in the American ones, just not in the 90s one.
The Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, not in that one.
Question for you. Does Godzilla have any siblings and or has he ever taken a lover? Or she? I don't know if Godzilla is gendered.
Godzilla, I think, is male. He's always referred to as male.
In that American one, the big twist was that it was a
No, it was female. Just that it was a male that reproduces asexually.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Taken a lover, no. But has had multiple children.
With whom, though? Oh, asexually?
I have no idea. There was Manila, which is short for, which is mini Godzilla. Manila.
In the a place
in
yes. the world, yeah.
Manila, which was more of like a cute one in some of the early 60s ones.
Oh, adorable.
But then there was one I really liked that they called Godzilla Jr. from the 2000s, where he was like a cool looking puppet. So he's had a few.
Were there puppets or was it guys in suits?
It was guys in suits. Sometimes when you would see Godzilla's face in a close-up, it was animatronic.
Okay. Is this one going to be CGI? It looks CGI.
It's all CGI.
Shitty.
I think the last one that Japan made, which isn't related to this, Shin Godzilla, I believe that was the first one that had all CGI Godzilla.
How long before we just get just AI making movies?
All right. We got to go. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with the Chosesh. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined by Anthony Buongiorno. This Hello. Is the chill session.
We're chilling.
Anthony, what are you chilling with?
I'm chilling with a lot of TV. Nice. I've been off all summer. I'm an educator, so I get my summers off, deservedly so.
You're a hero. If no one's thanked you today, can I thank you?
Thank you.
You're a hero.
Thank you for thanking me. I've been watching a lot of TV. So last time I talked about how I was chilling with Mrs. Maisel. I still am.
Yeah.
But I'm watching Maisel. I'm watching Only Murders in the Building.
It's back.
I'm watching And Just Like That, season 2.
I am 2 behind on that.
Okay.
Been hating it.
Yeah, I know you have.
Been hating it.
I texted Janine about it the other day, and these are my, let me tell you my thoughts. Because she just started it. And I said, she's just starting the season. As somebody who's watched 10 out of the 11 episodes. Next week, we get Samantha.
What could the context be?
She's going to be on the phone. I don't know. So I wrote some straight thoughts on And Just Like That as someone who's watched every episode of the season at least 2 times because I always do a rewatch of every episode.
Sure. Thorough.
Number one, It has daytime TV vibes. Mm-hmm. And you enjoy it a lot more if you watch it as a daytime show.
Sure.
And this dawned on me because I watch it every like Thursday morning while I'm eating breakfast. Yeah. I'm like, this really has daytime vibes.
Yeah.
It would be 30 to 40% better if Carrie narrated and would make a lot more narrative sense. I honestly think SJP just doesn't want to do the voiceover work anymore. And it's not good, but it has good moments, I think, way more than season one. It gets much better midway.
When it's certainly less depressing than season one.
Way less depressing. I think it gets much better and picks up a lot of steam when Aiden comes back. And if there's no season three, I will commit suicide. All of that being said, I will watch it till the bitter end.
There's things I like about it, but then there's these new characters. And the problem is the new characters are, it's not like every one of their scenes are them interacting with our main people.
Yeah.
And I know we've been following them for two seasons now, but every time they're on, I'm like, who are these fucking strangers?
Well, some of them are more developed than, I feel like at this point, Seema and LTW are pretty well developed.
Yeah.
Nia Wallace is still, like, she's on house arrest. She hasn't left that apartment all season.
But also,
and also, if they don't interact with Carrie, it feels weird.
I feel weird saying I don't care about them because it makes me feel like a bigot. But I don't care about them because it's like,
but I care about Seema because Seema is Carrie's friend.
Right. Because she's interacting with the person. If you remade any show and then there was just subplots about other people, I'd be like, this isn't, what is this? Well,
yeah, I think it's like they tried to make it like instead of just following Carrie's friends, now you're following all three of their friends. Because Nye is Miranda's friend and LTW Charlotte's friend. But it doesn't, it's not, I don't know why. I listened to that and Just Like Matt podcast, which I was recently on.
Yes.
As a featured guest. No, he just played phone my call. He played my voice.
But now. You did blow their minds.
I did blow their minds with my theory that Samantha's a Trump voter.
Yeah.
But he said, and he has said, he doesn't understand why we just want all six of them to be together at brunch. We've been waiting. Why are you holding it from us? Just let them all be friends.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, let Carrie, Nia, Seema, Charlotte, all of them hang out together.
Yeah.
It's always like the main three and then one other one rotating.
Well, you once said, famously, that
famously,
the worst thing that ever happened to the series was Michael Patrick King.
It's true.
And making him the king shit of the whole thing. And I agree. Like, if I go back and I watch the originals, I'll be like, it will remind me because now I gotta be honest, I watch and I go, I don't know why I'm watching this anymore. I don't know who I'm connecting to. Right. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah.
When I go back to the original, it's like, oh, actual funny jokes. So actual comedy, actual ha-has.
Quickness, brevity.
Yeah. Actual, she's a person, Carrie's a person with a job in the world. Yeah. She's not some
widowed
grand dame.
Yeah.
Fucking
in this season.
What's the lady from Great Expectations?
Miss Havisham.
That's who she is now. She's just like throwing money around.
This season, that one episode where she's like with Candace Bergen, and she's like, oh, I guess I'm embarrassed, so I have to give you $100,000. Remember?
That was when I said to fucking Jen, this is so relatable.
She's so rich. She just, you're too behind. She bought a house on Gramercy, in Gramercy Park. Full house.
Yeah.
For her and Aiden, which I love that she's here spending Big's money on Aiden.
What a cuck Aiden, a Big turned out to be.
But they're so, although Miranda's poor. They made the choice to make Miranda a poor person now. Have you noticed that?
But she's still, that house is still amazing though.
But she's like living in Naya's spare room. She's buying a used bed from a thrift store.
Yeah, but none of them are like one mischeck away from poverty.
Of course not. But she's always taking the subway.
But you're right. But
she's the poorest of them.
Carrie and Charlotte
are rich. Yeah.
Carrie more so, but they're rich.
And Charlotte's kids are fucking awful. I saw a tweet the other day that was like, because in this latest episode,
I don't
like them. I find that they're always like, Mom, like you're fucking disgusting.
I like Rock better than Lily.
Yeah, Lily, she's a bad actress.
The
woman, I'm sorry, the woman who plays Lily is not, she's not doing great, but it might be the direction and the writing.
Could be. The writing's pretty terrible.
Yeah, although she was bad in My Best Friend's Exorcism also. But
coming out hard for My Best Friend's Exorcism. Sorry, Kathy today. Wang. Who knew today's episode would be filled with such spicy takes?
in this latest episode, like, Charlotte comes home drunk because she's out late. And they're like, where were you? There's no dinner, whatever. And they're like, Mom, you're disgusting. You're drunk, whatever. And she, like, flips out on all of them. And she's like, I was a person before all of you. Like, leave me. I'm not just your mother. I'm not just your wife. Yes. And a bunch of tweets were like, good for you, Charlotte. And then one of them was like, they better recognize that they live in this beautiful house because Charlotte stood up to Bunny McDougal back in the day.
That's right.
And that's absolutely true. If she never stood up to Bunny McDougal and said, I'm worth $1 million.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be living in this fucking lap of luxury.
Yeah.
Same apartment. That's Trey's apartment.
I actually find myself... Oh, yeah. I actually find myself more interested in her.
She's the best one.
Because I like the her going back to work thing.
Yeah.
And also, she has scenes with Anthony, and Anthony's genuinely funny.
Yes.
He's the only thing genuinely funny. The funniest line this season that for me was when she was like... it's like a drug dealer. And he's like, how many drug deals have you seen go down?
Yeah, he's so funny. And I get the feeling a lot of his stuff is ad-libbed.
Yeah.
Funny.
Because it's... Well, it has to be because it's funny.
Yeah.
It just... Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's good. But I will die if it doesn't come back for season 3.
Why so?
Because I just want to watch every darn thing that the gals are up to till they die.
They don't turn you off at all.
The original three?
Yeah.
No.
Like Carrie.
I love Carrie. I think Carrie's never been better.
I know. I used to think.
She feels so much more self-actualized now than she ever was before. No,
she seems so much more judgy and above everything. Like, yeah? I can't even talk about my. You wrote Sex in the City.
Oh, yeah.
You can't talk about your vagina on a podcast. Yeah,
she was always a little prudish, but they've really turned up the. Like, Carrie's ridiculous. A Victorian about like.
It's things. Like, who are you?
Even in the latest episode, Seema's talking to her about sex, and Carrie's like, I'm trying to eat, so, like, let's. Like, it's so weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
Who are you? Aren't you the person who, like, wrote about this stuff?
Yeah, like, I don't know why they
Wasn't this the show that used to fucking, people used to come on each other and stuff? Like, like, what is happening?
There has been a lot more sex. There have been a lot more sex scenes this season.
Yes, that's true, but never her.
No, and she's never not having, Janina, never not wearing a bra during sex.
Here's another thing, too. She's never sweating. She's never anxious. She just floats through the world without conflict, it feels like.
She is kind of, she's like above it.
All, yeah.
Because she's super fucking rich, right. So she has nothing to worry about.
How do I care about a character like that, even a little bit?
I think I still love her. I think Charlotte's the best. I think, I like that Miranda's getting back to Miranda.
Uh-huh.
And I actually really do like... from the middle of the season on,
Che's after
she broke, I hate Che. I like Che better now
as Carrie's friend.
Like kind of like a Stanford, like coming in and out.
Yeah.
But I like the storyline of like Miranda's sexually confused.
Yeah.
I think that's good, and it feels real because you see her like she's like she dates a woman. She's not sure who she's really attracted to, and then this latest episode they really go into it.
Can I tell you, I stood up and cheered when...
when Steve yelled at her. You never wanted me. You never wanted this house. You didn't even want Brady. Get the fuck out of our lives.
I was like, thank you for saying it.
I think that was throwing some red meat to the fans who are like, fucking Steve, why are you doing this to my boy Steve?
Yeah, because he always was such a... I mean, that's such a sad life. Like... His whole relationship with her for like what 20 years, 30 years,
was
whatever
her
the fuck,
never, it, was her feeling like she was settling for him.
You're right. That's such a bummer.
You want to hear a throwback? Speaking of like random throwbacks to the old series, in the latest episode, she like wants to go see Che's act because she's like, I want to stop cutting exes out of my life. And she
comedy
says,
concert?
It's just like a small club. Mm. But she says, and this is crazy for the fans, I don't want to treat Che like I treated Skipper. And then Carrie's like, Skipper? Oh, my God. It's like, Skipper was like the proto-Steve season one.
I thought he wasn't even canon anymore. Yeah. I thought he became Steve.
I thought he became Steve.
Skipper was Carrie's friend, too.
Yeah.
Wow, Skipper. The guy who played Skipper somewhere is like, whoa.
Skipper name drop.
He's calling his agent. Go, tell him I'm available.
So that's what I'm mostly chilling with. And now the summer's coming to an end and the show's coming to an end. It's probably not coming back for a third season, so I'm going to have to accept that. With the writer's strike and everything else, it's probably not going to come back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the writer's strike, which I'm totally for.
Me too.
Is
Fran Drescher is the fucking face of a revolution for the actor's strike.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. I know it's such an interesting second act for her, right? Or third act for her. But it just sucks as a viewer, as a consumer, because we finally got off the pandemic thing, and now we're going to have another stoppage.
There's no end in sight either.
No. Fucking these evil fucking corporate guys are like, once they're homeless, they'll fucking fuck you.
Yeah.
But this, they'll just do age AI actors.
We're, again, because of the weird place we are politically, like, there's, there are a lot of people who are like, fuck Hollywood. I don't care if they're on strike. Not realizing that the vast majority of people who work in the industry are just middle class folks. Like, they're
famous people go down to the picket line, they're doing it to help. They're doing it to bring attention. They don't need the money.
Right.
They're not being paid.
There've been some fun reunions and stuff at the picket line.
Yeah.
Like casts of shows come together.
Yeah, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an awful situation, but it's
yeah. And I'm glad that the writers and the actors are together.
Is this the first time ever that the writers and actors have both been on strike at the same time?
That I don't know. I'm not sure. It has gone on long.
The writers have been on strike for a long time, right?
Longer than the actors.
Yeah.
The actors
like, didn't the Oscars had no writer this year?
I don't remember at this point.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Speaking of some weird stuff. Have you heard of that show? I think it's called The Chosen. It's like about Jesus.
No, I haven't.
It's like got an exemption because like a million Christians wrote in saying like, please, the devil is keeping the show from our TV. Please let them continue production.
Wow.
And they're making it still. It's like one of the only things still in production that's not an independent.
Aji Maji.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I was reading about it in The New Yorker. Just kidding. I watch it on TikTok.
Fantastic. Okay. All right.
What are you chilling with, Mike?
Let's see. I just watched all three seasons in like 3 days. I watched all three seasons of the Star Trek animated show Lower Decks.
Okay.
Which is like a comedy. It's a parody.
Is it like about the working class?
Yeah, it's about the people who aren't the captains.
So it's like Downton Abbey, but for Star Trek.
Right.
But
they sleep in a hallway. They don't have their own rooms.
Isn't the whole thing of Star Trek that it's kind of like communist? Like everybody?
Yes.
So then how does that work?
It's a meritocracy.
Oh, so they're like not...
Right. Smart. Their rank, they're ensigns. So they're the lowest rank on the ship.
Oh.
So they're literally on the lower decks.
Oh.
And...
that sounds fun.
It is. It's really funny, and it is canon.
I was gonna say, is it canon?
Yeah, but what's interesting is like whenever they have like someone from one of the movies, like they'll come, like anybody from any, they'll come back and voice it. And
do they like make fun of the Jagovs upstairs?
Yeah, they make fun of in their little world, which is, it's always good when they do this. In their little world, everyone knows these people, so Star Trek is famous. So like, you know, like, one of the characters is, she's the daughter of the captain, but she's an ensign because she doesn't obey rules. And she's like, I'm like a Kirk. I do whatever I want. You know what I mean? like it's stuff like that. Like there'll be like deep cut references to things that happened in like
what time period is it? During the original show?
It's actually, no. It's after Next Generation.
Oh, so it's new.
It's in the far flung future. It's like a couple hundred years after. Like in the original series, there was a show where they go to an episode where Kirk and all of them go to a planet that they're all worshiping Landru, which is a AI robot that has convinced them that they're a god. And in this, they go back and they've started worshiping to him, and they're like, stop worshiping this thing. And they're like, sorry, he's just so convincing. Like, it's like a lot of like deep jokes like that.
It's from the Rick and Morty people?
No, it just looks very similar.
Okay. Who's the creative force behind it? Anyone?
Matt somebody. What's his name? And they did the reason I watched it is because I watched the series Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which is before Kirk's time.
But they did a crossover. That was disappeared by Paramount Plus.
Oh, that was the kid show Prodigy. That's also animated, but it wasn't a comedy. Why on earth
would they feel that they have to do that?
I don't know. I really don't understand why. I really don't understand why they do things like that. Let's see. Where is it? What next? I just want to see who the producer is. Oh, Mike McMahon is the creator. Yeah, they did a cool crossover where the actors who voice the characters kind of look like them. So, like, this is perfect. So they had them play their cartoon characters in live action. And they had them go back in time.
Okay.
And it was a very funny episode because, like, of the tone of their show. So it's, like, meeting famous people. Like they meet Spock and the girl's like, for real? I cannot get over how hot Spock is. I mean, the ears, the face, the body. like shit like that. And, like, they keep saying, like, shit from the future. Like, they're not supposed to tell them things from the future because it'll ruin the timeline. But they keep, like, slipping up.
That's funny. It almost sounds to me like they're drawing humor from, like, Trekkies.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And making it in-universe.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is. Because it's... I think it would still be funny to somebody who hasn't seen Star Trek things, but it's pretty funny. Also, like, in Star Trek, like, a big deal is First Contact, where...
Wasn't one of the movies called First Contact?
Yeah. And that was about the first contact Earth had.
Okay.
So, like, the prime directive in Star Trek, which is, like, the number one rule for the Starfleet Federation, is that if a planet doesn't have warp... capabilities, if they haven't invented warp core that allows them to go far into space, then you have to leave them alone, otherwise you'll be invading. That's the prime directive. So you can't interfere with the natural evolution of a planet. Mm-hmm. But once they have, you know, once they test warp and it's detected, then aliens land and peacefully greet them and say, hi, now that you've got this technology, we're going to welcome you to the rest of the galaxy. Other planets exist, blah, blah, blah. So that's called First Contact. But the ship that they're in Lower Decks is also, like, not the Enterprise. It's, like, a shitty ship that's not as important. Their main job is to do Second Contact, where they go and just get, like, the signatures and, like, all this, like, not important, like, shit. Like,
the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny. Even it's funny because it shows, like, the things in Star Trek that you never think about, like, people cleaning and, like, people who have to stack shit and, like, just all of that shit. So, yeah, I watched that. That was really good. What else? Oh, and the voice of the main character in that is Jack Quaid, who I'm all on Jack Quaid these days.
He's the killer from Scream 5, yes. Right?
Yeah. And he's Meg Ryan's son.
And what's his name? Quaid.
Is Dennis? Is Dennis his dad?
The normal one.
Not Randy.
Yeah.
He's also, spoiler, he's in my pick for Obsession. And then I'm reading this academic, but not really, book on kaiju monsters. It's called the what's it called? I got it from the library. The Kaiju Film, written by Jason Barr, and it's like a critical theoretical study of Godzilla movies and all those movies.
That's fun. I'm reading a book right now that's very, very, very related to my obsession.
What's it called?
It's called Hamnet. It's a novel by Maggie O'Farrell.
Uh-huh.
It came out during COVID, and it became like a New York Times bestseller. It's really well written, but it's also like has a lot to do with the plague, mm-hmm. So it was just like eerily well-timed. But it's about it's like an imagining of the death of Shakespeare's son, who was named Hamnet. And then a year later.
Was there really a son?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, there was
a son, Hamnet. And a year later, after he died, Hamlet was written.
Oh.
And then it like kind of imagines a lot about, because not a lot is known about her. It imagines a lot about Anne Hathaway, his wife.
Anne Hathaway, the actress?
Yes. She was... Spoiler, my obsession is also about this, just coincidentally, about the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Which is bizarre, but it's a really, really good book.
What kind of tone is it?
It's the language is really, really rich, and it's not comedic. It's pretty serious.
Okay.
And it's like, it keeps the story.
But what is it like imagining?
Like who she was. And how and who like
the how the mother he, of the kid
the mother of the kid.
We don't know anything about her.
We don't know a lot about her. No.
We know her name.
We know her name. We know she was older than him.
We know she was in the Princess Diaries.
She was yes. We know that she had a makeover at one point.
Sure.
Now, we know that she was older than him and that when they got married, she was pregnant. So it was like a quickie marriage. All of that is what we know. But this book goes back and forth between the perspective of the boy.
Yeah.
On the, like, getting sick and dying of the plague and her from when she first, when she was a child to when she first meets William, even though he's never named, they never call him William.
Oh, okay.
To then their marriage and getting pregnant and all that kind of stuff.
That sounds very interesting.
It's really good. I'm enjoying it. I'm trying, it's like one of those books I'm trying to read slowly.
Yeah.
Because it's just really enjoyable to read. The language is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm always reading two books at a time. I'm always reading like an, some kind of nonfiction and a novel.
Yeah.
And this is the novel I'm reading. And I just finished, finally, the newest Samantha Irby book.
Yes, I love Kindle, that.
Which was really, that was really, really good. I thought it was so good.
She's really good.
She's so funny.
Yeah, her whole essay about her dog reminded me so much of Peach.
Yeah, I love what she said. My dog's smooth walnut brain.
she's such a wordsmith.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
Like I laugh out loud while reading her stuff.
She writes for and just like that, which is shocking because she's actually funny.
And I'll tell you something else that's shocking. A lot of Che is based on her. Like she worked in a vet's office.
Right, right.
Like that's a lot. And I've listened to the there's a podcast, The Writer's Room.
Yeah.
And she's on it a lot. And a lot of her stuff goes to Che.
I don't know
it's
how it's
strange.
How it happens.
I think it's just her voice doesn't mesh well with the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, she talks like, you know, I'm somebody who lives in sweatpants and she also like how do I write for Sex and the City?
She also like hates New York City. She lives in Michigan. Like she's not like a New York person.
No, yeah, yeah.
She's very, it was an odd pick.
Right, right, right.
But she's so funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Her book was really great. It was called, what was it? Hostile. I like never know the title of anything I'm reading.
I know.
Violently something hostile. Something hostile.
Let me see. Let me look at my Goodreads.
You might as well just plug it because it's such a good book. I don't do Goodreads. I felt like it was killing reading for me. Okay. It was killing the joy of it.
It makes the joy
for
me.
I don't need to track everything, goddammit.
Okay, let's calm down. Quietly Hostile.
Quietly Hostile.
Quietly Hostile.
Very, very funny.
I enjoyed it.
I'm trying to think of, there was one. Oh, I really loved when she was talking. It was like an essay/screenplay of her pilot.
Yes. Yes, about what her pilot was.
What her pilot was.
But then like doing like commentary. Yeah.
Oh, and I loved. I love the relationship she has with the teens.
Yeah.
She always calls them the teens that live in my house.
Yeah, her partner's
Did
kids.
Did you see the episode of And Just Like That where she meets Aiden's wife?
No.
Well, Aiden's wife says, like, I, you know, please just don't write about my kids. Yeah. And that was based on Samantha Irby's wife saying, please don't ever write about my kids. Don't call them my name, whatever. So I love there's one chapter where she's like, how to make kids think you're cool.
Yeah.
And it's like all these things. She's like, watch horror movies in the middle of the day. And it's like, never try to use any of their lingo ever.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just like, it's really funny that she's just like this person who's like not great with kids, but she like lives with two teenagers.
Yeah, right, right.
And she's just like, she was talking about the pandemic and she was like, our family was hit hard because we had two kids who had homework and a professional who needed to do their work and one asshole with a blog. And we all needed the internet.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's really good. What else have I been reading? I was reading Ariel by Sylvia Plath. But I guess
I thought you meant that new Ariel book that came out for the
Little Mermaid. But I wasn't reading it fast enough for the library because they took it away from me. And you can renew a loan.
Took it away.
You can renew a loan on. I always read my library books on my Kindle.
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to do that?
No.
Well, I'll show you off air and your life will be changed forever. So
I don't have a library card, I don't think, a current one.
Well, then you need to get one. That's
so I need to go to a library or can I get it online?
But then, go to a library. But then you can have them on your Kindle. I read library books. Yes.
They're not like, there's a wait for this one.
No, there are waits.
How? That's not real.
I know. They pretend like they're physical things when they're not, and they take them away. But
that's bullshit.
But it saves a lot of money. Anyway, because they're bullshit. They you know, Sylvia Plath, like, I can't burn through it.
No, Sylvia Plath is, it's tough to read. It's dense.
It's dense poetry. Like, I'm going to read a poem three times and still not understand it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to renew it, but somebody had it on hold, so I lost it. So now I'm like half in this weird in between where, like, I'm waiting to get it back so I can read the rest of it. But yeah, I haven't been reading. I've been reading a lot of comics and stuff. You know, I like.
I read that mix the it Heartstopper up. Series.
How'd you like it?
They're right here. I have all these four.
Did I give those to you?
No, I bought them.
Oh, okay.
They're fun. You know, they're benign.
Okay. I read the first three.
They are, here's what I'll say about them. I love that they exist.
Yeah.
It's not the most riveting read for a 37-year-old man.
Right.
But if I had had this when I was 14, my life would have been a lot easier.
Right. I felt the same way. I liked the art. And I thought it was cute.
It's cute. It's adorable.
But I, as a grown-up, have read so many love stories.
Yeah.
This is nothing to me.
No.
But if this is your...
I really want to know what's going on with the teachers. That's where my...
But if this is your first love story and you're a young kid,
of course, good for you. And you're queer and you're oh my God, representation.
That's great.
But to me, I'm like, what are these two gay teachers up to in their room?
Yeah. yeah.
It's just adorable. But it's like adorable in that way where it's like it was crafted for people to be like, "Aww."
Yeah.
It's just pure joy.
I watched some episodes of the show.
I don't think it's for me.
I didn't
Trixie and Katya, who Janine really got me into, watch the show and kind of mock it.
Oh, you just reminded me of something because you said them, and I'm listening to the show by it's called Ghosted. You ever listen to Ghosted?
Yes.
Ghosted by Roz, what's her name? Roz. This show, by the way, has become just old men half remembering things going, what was the thing? You know, the one with the hair and the eyes. Roz Hernandez.
Okay.
Ghosted.
I feel like I've listened to it, but maybe that doesn't sound familiar.
Ghosted by Roz Hernandez. It's about paranormal stuff.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else. I've never heard of this. Okay, go ahead.
But what's funny about it is the host, Roz Hernandez, doesn't like believe in shit. So it's not like, it's fun ghost stories and like alien stories, but it's not from a believer. She's like, she wants to believe. But it's really funny. I've been trying to get into new podcasts because I've been sick of the ones that I was listening to, and I don't know, some of them just fell
off. Sometimes you need to get into that search bar and see what's up.
Yeah, but like, what's new? What's hot? What's fresh?
Yeah. I'm really in a Trixie and Katya hole, thanks to Janine, because she's just like kept sending them to me.
Yeah.
And they're really funny.
Yeah.
I won't repeat everything Janine said, but it is like comfort watching.
Yeah.
Because it's just, they're just gabbing and having a great
time.
Jen
likes a lot of that.
They're funny as hell.
Yeah.
They're so funny.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back with obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. This is Obsessions. These are the things that we're currently obsessed with. Who wants to go first?
You can go first.
I'm currently obsessed with the new animated series, My Adventures with Superman, starring Jack Quaid as Superman.
Oh, is it? Where can I find it?
You can find it on Max or on Adult Swim. People argue of why it's on Adult Swim because it doesn't have cursing or anything like that.
It's not like satirical at all.
No, it's not. I think it's on Adult Swim because it's violent and it has serialized storytelling, which I think you don't want too much of that for a kid's show.
Okay.
Although, yeah. I mean, they do, like Avatar did that. I don't know. I think it's good that they put it on Adult Swim because it made it stand out where it could have been lost before. And I don't usually ship, but the thing that everyone loves about the show is the relationship between Lois and Clark. And it's fun because it's like the oldest ship in the world, but they're so cute together. The Lois is like, she has this short little like hair, like
a sassy bob.
Not even a bob, like.
Like a pixie
cut? Yeah, a pixie cut. And like the like red pearl earrings, and that's it. And cute. Then, and she's super short and like, and plucky. And Clark is like nerdy and a big strong guy. And she's always sassing him. And the show's like, it's from his point of view, but it's called My Adventures with Superman. And it's a really good blend of doing something fresh, but also not redoing it. Not doing like what they do, they've done so much recently where it's like, we're going to deconstruct it. I think there is, and I think this is true for the new Star Trek show, Strange New Worlds, where every week they go on a new adventure. There's something to be said for actually doing the thing. Instead mm-hmm. of doing a deconstruction, doing a satire, you know what I mean? Doing a recontextualization. There's something to be said with, there's something good about this story. Do it the right way. Just do it the regular way.
Right.
And it's just Adventures with Superman, and it's very interesting and funny and delightful.
What's the tone? Like,
the tone is, it's very funny. It's got a lot of jokes, but it's not really a comedy. It's like an adventure show.
Is it like realistic looking animation?
It's anime, so it looks like anime.
Oh, right, you said that. Okay.
The big difference that they did with the plot, which actually doesn't add up to that much difference, is instead of them being adults, they're in their 20s. And they're interns at the Daily Planet.
So it's not like Smallville where they're in high school.
No. They want to be reporters. And actually, they're three best friends. Jimmy Olsen, who like was like the little sidekick. Like, he's like one of the main three.
So he's like an equal now.
Yeah. Actually, I have it in the backdrop on my phone. So Jimmy Olsen, Lois, and Clark, they're like the three main people.
That Superman is like very hot.
Yeah, he's very hot. And Lois is very cute, and it's also cute. They want to be reporters, but they're interns, and they keep fucking up.
I think Superman is at its best when it's earnest.
Yes, and lighthearted.
Yeah.
He's not a dark, brooding guy. Yeah. And he's not – I'm all for deconstruction, but what Zack Snyder did with Man of Steel to me was such a deconstruction that it's like – what are we even doing? Like, to say, this character that the reason we like him is because he's an alien who's very human. What if he was an alien that was alien? What if he's an alien that isn't human? It's like, well, then how about that's not interesting?
Yeah.
Like, we like him because he's an alien, but then he comes and becomes very human.
Right. Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about? And in that, the chemistry between Lois and Clark in those movies is just nil.
How many are there?
There's one, and then there's Batman versus Superman, and then there's Justice League. Then you just get lost.
Yeah.
Whereas
the Zack Snyder, I suddenly became very invested in the Zack Snyder cut.
And there's a real funny bit where also in episode, they're not wasting time. In episode 4, she figures out that he's Superman.
Okay.
Because it's going to be about them having a relationship. And they both like each other right away. So it's not like one likes the other. They both like each other. Like when they first meet, he's like, they go to like a store and it's a push, but he pulls and he rips the handle off like an idiot. And then she's like, I think it's a push. And then he pushes it open and she's like, all right, see you in there, big guy. And like, she hits him on the shoulder.
That's adorable.
And then he goes in, and then the lady who owns the place is like, oh, Clark is here. We've got the 3 dozen donuts you want to eat. You've got such a good appetite. He gets sprinkles on him, so we made him a bib. And she like puts a bib on him and she's like, honey, Clark's here. And he's like, did you get the bib? And it's just funny shit like that. Like, he's not good at being Superman. So, like, she's like, do you ever notice whenever, he leaves, he says something about bagels? Like, he'll they have a radio and it's like, there's a robbery. And he's like, I left my bagel in the kitchen. And then the radio is like, don't worry, Superman took care of it. And then he comes back and he's like, anyway. And he's like, now there's a shooting at this. And he's like, I forgot the cream cheese. So it's always like bagels. It's just, it's really funny and it's just cute and just such a joy to watch. And why can't things be that way?
Why can't we just like this?
Why can't we like things? Why can't things be sincere, like you said? What's wrong with sincerity? Who would want a brooding Superman?
Not me.
What?
Very good. That sounds fun.
Yeah. So what are you obsessed with?
My current obsession is a Broadway musical that I just saw a couple days ago.
What's it called?
It's called End Juliet.
End Juliet.
Yes.
Ampersand Juliet.
Ampersand Juliet. It is, so it's a jukebox musical based on the songs of Max Martin.
Who that?
So let me just, I'll pull it up. Max Martin is responsible for some of the biggest pop songs of the 90s and 2000s.
Okay.
But the storyline is Anne Hathaway. It's so funny. Shakespeare's wife.
Oh, really?
Is like, I don't like this Romeo and Juliet. I don't like the way it ends with them both dying. Like, what if only Romeo died and Juliet survived? Uh-huh. And then it goes from there. So it's kind of like, and then like Anne Hathaway and William Shakespeare are kind of like the narrators of it.
Okay.
And they're both like, they get into like kind of like a war of like, then this should happen. No, then this should happen.
Right.
But it's all about like, it starts off being like, what if Juliet survived?
Okay.
And then.
What kind of songs?
So listen to the soundtrack. It's fucking stacked. Larger Than Life, Baby One More Time.
Ooh.
What Do You Want From Me? One More Try, Stronger, As Long As You Love Me. Love Me Like You Do. I Want It That Way.
Ooh.
It's My Life. I Can't Feel My Face. One Less Problem Without You. You're Gonna Hear Me Roar. It's
wow.
Gonna Be Me. I Want It That Way. I Kiss the Girl. Since You've Been Gone. It's like all
wow.
pop songs.
Wow.
But what's so good about it is it's funny as hell.
Uh-huh.
The music is amazing because those are all great songs.
Right, right, right.
And it's sort of like for millennials because it's all like millennial teen songs.
Do they make
songs.
A joke about her name being Anne Hathaway?
They make several jokes about it.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, one of the best lines is at the end. Well, they like, spoiler alert, they get into like a fight and then they like make up. And he's like, there'll only ever be one Anne Hathaway.
That's
it's really funny. It's a really funny show. And what's so clever about it is the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
They make the lyrics fit what's happening so cleverly.
Uh-huh.
And plus the singing is so good and the choreography is so good that it actually like takes like tired 90s pop songs and like actually like elevates them.
I've heard good things
it's
from
really,
other people about this too.
It's a fun time. It's like I would see it again. It's so much fun. I loved
What's
it.
What's an example of them making the music really work integrated?
Okay. So like there's a character named May.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like building up to it the whole time. And then at the end, the character, spoiler, the character like chooses May.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, it's gonna be May.
Oh, wow.
And it just like leads up to that. It's like, you kind of thought it was coming, but then it does come. And you're like, oh, that's fucking brilliant.
That's fun.
It's really fun.
That's awesome. I'd see that. Yeah.
And Juliet.
And
Juliet. It's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. Well, we did it. This has been a hot episode with a lot of hot takes and, a lot of cool attitudes. So I'm Mike Bongiorno. I was joined today by Anthony Bongiorno. You can listen to PCMC every Wednesday for the rest of time.
For the rest of all of our lives.
Yes. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.